Vertical, how we doing? Y'all need another break? Just like me? We need just another week just to everyone agree to do nothing instead of doing way too much, coming back from a break, still feeling like death. Hey, if you haven't been with us the last few weeks, welcome back. Missed many of you, those who were part of Sing or Pledgeship or different things. We're just glad that you're here. We're starting a new series tonight called FM 72 Prep, which means we're preparing for FM 72. Let's go. Some people are excited about FM 72, and some of you are wondering, what is FM 72? Here's what you need to know. FM 72 stands for Fountain Mall for 72 hours of prayer. And so on March 27th through 30th, we're going to spend 72 hours praying for our campus, praying for revival in this city and on our campus and even within our own hearts. And this next series is preparing for that the next 2 weeks. And a little bit more about FM 72 that you need to know is that each and every day, as you're in between classes, you can stop by the tent and you can pray. You can stay up all night. If you're one of those crazy people that likes to stay up late all night and pray, I'm not one of those people, but you can be. And then each and every night at 8 p.m., we're going to meet at McLean Stadium and have worship and Bible study. I've called it Vertical on Steroids. It's rightfully called that. It's every local church, campus ministry coming together around the tagline, I'd rather have Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend an extended period of time just coming before the Lord and asking for him to work in a mighty way, and we're all going to get to do it together. And so everyone's invited, everyone. I hope that you'll be with us each and every night. It's truly one of my favorite times of the year. And I'll even say this, one of my good friends, who was once a student, he's since graduated, in 2019, it was the moment that changed the trajectory of his life. And he was an upperclassman, frat guy, that was just like, man, I think I've just missed it. And now he's back in Waco discipling other people, and some of you would even know him if I said his name. And so I'm so thankful for the way that God has used FM 72 on this campus. And I'm just hopeful that you'll all be there each and every night. And even at the prayer room or prayer tent, I'll be there and I'll see you there that week. And so we're starting this series, FM 72 Prep. Again, preparing for FM 72. How do we prepare for a revival? That's a good question. That's where we're going to look as we open to Matthew 6. We're continuing to go through Vertical, through the Sermon on the Mount. And I really believe that God in his kindness is giving us this passage that I think is so good for Baylor students and those in Waco, because it's really easy to look ahead to FM 72 and just think, yeah, we're going to pray for revival on our campus. God, revive those people on our campus, everyone else, revive the lost people, revive, do this stuff, God, work. And Jesus is going to start tonight and show us it starts with us. It's going to start within our own hearts. We're going to have to look to ourselves. He's going to have to purify us, and he's going to call us out. And so we're going to look to Matthew 6, starting in verse 1 is where we're going to be. This is what it says. Jesus is speaking. Beware, warning, beware not to display your righteousness merely to be seen by people. Let's stop right here. Jesus is giving us a warning sign. Again, I think he's calling us out. He's saying, hey, my people, be careful of doing things that are a part of my will. We'll call it righteousness, practicing righteousness. Beware of practicing righteousness merely to be seen by other people. And so tonight we're going to look at 3 points. And the first point that we see is that Jesus wants us to assess our motives. Assess your motives. That means as we're following after Jesus, as we're living for Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Or a better question might be, am I doing this thing to be seen by others? And if the answer is yes, Jesus said, hey, be careful. Like, be really, really careful. And it's so easy in our lives to do things to be seen by people. It's a very natural tendency of humans to do things to be seen by people. But Jesus is talking about spiritual things. He's saying, be careful of doing spiritual things just to be seen. For example, reading your Bible at Common Grounds. Be careful. Don't just do that to be seen by others. Taking an Instagram story of your quiet time or posting on your Instagram about the mission trip you went on over spring break or last summer. Or maybe this, I hope this doesn't happen anymore, but I think it still does probably. When I was in school, I had friends that would dress up on Sunday and they'd go eat Penland for lunch as if they went to church. They would just like dress up for Penland lunch so that they wouldn't, so it would appear that they would had gone to church. That's still a thing, I'm sure. People are still human and sinful. Or maybe tonight, you lifted your hands in worship. You don't even know why you lift your hands in worship, right? You just lifted the hands in worship for the girl that's like a few rows behind you, right? You're doing things to be seen by others. And maybe this is just me, but I catch myself sometimes praying and just dropping some scripture just to prove to everyone that I'm in ministry, right? And I read my Bible. Just dropping some scripture, proving I can pray well. And even as a student, I would come to Vertical sometimes just to be seen, just to appear spiritual. I was in the fraternity world, but I wanted people to know, you know, I'm a frat guy, but I love Jesus, right? So I'm here at Vertical. And I go to church. You see, Jesus is warning us, beware of doing things that are a part of my will just to be seen by others. And so how can we assess our motives? This is challenging. This first point is challenging. How are we supposed to know? The heart is deceitful. Like, we can convince ourselves, well, I had good motives. I had good motives to post that Instagram story. It's challenging. It's challenging. So there's questions we can ask ourselves. Are you bummed that somebody didn't see you at Common Grounds reading your Bible? Would you be bummed if you posted the story and somehow no one saw it? You'd probably be more concerned about what happened on your Instagram. There's a bug or something. It's hard to assess these things. And so maybe the application that you need to write out tonight is just, God, would you expose when I'm doing things merely to be seen? Would you expose in my heart when I'm just doing things to be seen? And let's stop. If you've been tracking with this through the Sermon on the Mount, then you might be thinking, but what about when Jesus told us to be salt and light? Jesus said in the scripture, before this, same sermon, weirdly, he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. What? How does this add up? And it goes on to say, and give glory. Whoa. For those that are listening on the podcast, my music stand just went straight to the ground. Anyways. So ADD, I'm so sorry. All right, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So we're either giving glory to ourselves, we're trying to live for the approval of others, or we're giving glory to the Father who's in heaven. That's the distinction. It doesn't mean you can't read your Bible. It doesn't even mean you can't post on Instagram. It just means that our motives matter. So the first point tonight is to assess our motives. And I really believe this point is powerful for me personally not just because I'm in ministry, but growing up, I learned to perform. It's all I know. It's everything. In fact, I'm not even good at some of the things that I performed at. I remember I was in choir for years. I won state 4 times. I am a terrible singer. I have no idea why I was in the choir. I was in the orchestra. I was in theater. I acted. I was like a fairy in a play just because I wanted to be in the play. I just wanted to be in everything. And then not to mention, I went to a small private school, so I played every sport possible. Every sport. I just played everything. Performance was in me. It was everything that I had. Even when I got to Baylor, I wanted to win intramurals. It's all I wanted to do. And not just one of them, all of them. Dodgeball, won it. Football, won it. Basketball, won it. Game winner. I'm not even kidding. This is real. It was what I lived for. I was just like, come on, y'all. Come on. No. Come on. No. Don't give me glory. It's just deep within me. Performance. It's so easy for my motives to be in the approval of others. And then you take that into the spiritual realm, and Jesus is saying, be really, really, really careful. We know we're not supposed to live for the approval of others, but even more so, we're not meant to live for the approval of others spiritually. He's saying, be careful not to practice your righteousness merely to be seen. Even this week, I was at Beach Reach with some Baylor students, BSM, other local churches, some vertical students were there. And I think there's a few of you here. I'm surprised you didn't yell. You might be asleep. All right, let's go. A few of you. We're still recovering. We didn't sleep much. And there was a moment where I was put on the spot to pray. And the leader was like, Dale, you pray. So I started praying. And the prayer was a blur. I remember saying amen, and I remember thinking, that wasn't a prayer. That wasn't a prayer. That was just words so that everyone could just know. I can pray. Amen. Get a pat on the butt. Hey, that was a good prayer. Move on with my day. It's a performance. And Jesus is warning us, hey, assess your motives. Assess your motives. And one way we can do this and keep from this, having impure motives, is by denying ourselves daily. That's one application. We must consistently be aware of our tendency to do things to be seen. And as much as we are aware, we should be praying against it. God, would you help us? God, would you expose that in us? You could pray, search me and know me, O God. Create in me a pure heart. And the last thing, I remember when I lived in Pinland, Dirty Third. Any Dirty Thirders in here? Let's go. It was dirty back when I was there. I don't know if it's dirty anymore, but they've redone it since then. And I remember I'd go for runs every once in a while. I'm not a runner, but every once in a while I run. And so I'd come out of Pinland and I'd take a quick right and I'd go to that intersection. There's the subway on my right. You know which one I'm talking about? And I always would take a left. And I'd run as fast as I could. And I realized over time there was a reason why I was always taking a left. Every time I was just taking a left so that I could be my freshest at a certain point on my run around the bear trail. I was just so fresh. I was like sprinting practically. And then the rest of my run, it didn't really matter how fast I went. Does anyone know where I would run fast, past? Collins. Woo! Collins is in the building. They knew. There was also one other place I would run fast around. It was just past the BSB. You know, the marina would be on my right, and I would start running fast again just in case a football coach was outside. I was like, Coach, I'm ready. I'm ready. Back then it was Art Browse. I was like, Browse, I'm ready. We're the number one team in the country, but I'm still, look at me. I'm ready, Coach. Send me. I'll be the holder. Anyways, I always notice, I would always run past Collins. As fast as I could. And it just shows, like, that was my motives. It wasn't to run. It was to be seen running really, really fast. Past Collins. And it reminds me that we can't keep the pace of performance. We can't keep the pace of performance. Let's keep going. Other than assessing our motives, let's look back to verse 1. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and we're going to jump to verse 5. This is what Jesus continues to say. Beware not to display your righteousness merely to be seen by people. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father in heaven. Thus, whenever you give, whenever you do charitable giving, whenever you do year-end giving, whenever you give generously throughout your entire life, not just at year-end, charitable giving, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets so that people will praise them. I tell you the truth, they will have their reward. Verse 5 says something very similar. He's talking about prayer, and he's saying the same thing. Do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray while standing in synagogues and on the street corners so that people can see them. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. And so Jesus is talking about, he's talking about giving and praying, and these people giving and praying in an obnoxious way and making sure everyone sees them so that everyone can praise them. And what we see here is a principle that the reward for being seen is being seen. Like, the reward for being seen is being seen. It's very simple. Jesus is saying, hey, if you're going to do things merely to be seen by other people, you're going to get seen. And he's showing us that that's a poor reward. You get exactly what you want. You get to be seen, but there's no reward from the Father. There's no reward from the Lord in the things that we do to be seen by men. So my second point tonight is to consider the reward. Consider the reward. As we live and follow Jesus, we get rewards. And I don't know the exact exchange rate of rewards, like you do something in faithfulness, you obey Jesus, you follow him, and then you get a certain amount of Bitcoin in your heavenly, you know, realm, right? I don't know. I don't know what it is, cash, money, gold. Gold's going up right now. Anyways, business major in me just came out. Here we go. Like, that's considering the reward. I don't know the exchange rate, but we're made to be faithful to the Father and receive the treasures that he's going to lay up for us in heaven and not just do things to be seen, because if it's just that, we're going to get that. And that's all it's going to be. And we get caught up in thinking that the reward of being seen is better than the reward of pleasing the Father and the treasures that we have in heaven. So consider the reward. My second point. Let's just look at this. The reward of being seen, and we'll just pick on Instagram. Instagram is the easy one to pick on in this way. Reward of being seen to grow your Instagram following versus the reward from Father in heaven. So we consider the reward. You can post about church. You can post about the next Jenny Allen video. You can post and tag, hoping that organization or person will repost you. That may grow your followers. It may get you seen. But that's all it will get you. And Jesus is trying to tell us that that's useless. The applause and approval of others is useless. Remember when you were a kid and you'd go to an arcade and you'd get like 200,000 tickets? You know what I'm saying? You get so many tickets, and you'd go to cash out your tickets, and you'd get an opportunity to buy a trinket like this, right? Like, this is what you'd get. You're like, I'm rich. Mom and Dad, I am the richest kid that has ever lived. I just got 200,000 tickets. How amazing. Anybody still got their tickets with them? How amazing are you? Some of you are like, yeah, I've been saving up. Chuck E. Cheese, here we go. you know how silly those trinkets are and how worthless they are? That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, it's worthless. Instagram's going to go away one day. If you don't believe me, it's gone in Russia. They took it away. It's going to go away one day. This is what it's going to be like. Does that mean we can't post on Instagram? No. It means we assess our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? We consider the reward. I want to be faithful to God, not faithful to be seen by others to get this. It's an eternal perspective that we're meant to live with. As we consider the reward, we understand there's a greater reward from living for the approval of the Father. There's a greater reward for living for the audience of one. But if you're anything like me, you kind of like being seen. You don't mind it. You're like, it's kind of nice. A little pat on the back. Just do things to be seen. I kind of like growing my following. It's what everyone's doing. You like the reward of being seen. You could even say, it's not killing me to be seen doing righteous things. It won't kill you, but it will exhaust you. It will exhaust you trying to keep up with what people are seeing. Keep up with your persona, your brand, your act that you've created. And the last thing, as I was thinking about this, and I wish I could go back to my college self, little frat Dale. And I remember trying to honestly be the most popular guy on campus. Like, that was kind of my goal. And I wish somebody had told me that all those people I wanted to be seen by to get this, I wish somebody had just told me, hey, all those people you're trying to be seen by, you will not talk to or see in 5 years. I don't talk to any of those people. I don't see them, other than at football games. I just soft smile. You know, that awkward, I think we were on the same hall in Pinland. You know, just keep walking. I can't remember your name anymore. And I have some great friends. I think I have like 10. And I feel like that's a lot to keep up with in a meaningful way. Even 2 would be sufficient, like meaningful, deep friendships. And so you might like to be seen by other people, but just consider that those people are going to be gone. And it really doesn't matter that they see you do anything. So invest in your community. Yes, we love our neighbor. Yes, we have a community. And we engage the lost and we care for the lost. But we don't need to be seen by everyone. Consider the reward. And I know some of us like the reward of being seen, but it's not worth it at all. So again, invest in community, love your neighbors. Don't waste time being seen. Which brings me to the gospel. As we approach Passover and we're in this season of Lent, we must remember that Jesus, as he walked in on Palm Sunday, we're about to celebrate Palm Sunday, which is this beautiful picture of Jesus riding in on a donkey and everyone laying palm branches on the ground and just declaring Hosanna in the highest. They're praising Jesus. He's getting the approval and applause of man. Hosanna means, oh Lord, save us. They're saying, oh Lord, save us. They're celebrating Jesus coming in. And thank goodness Jesus wasn't just living for their approval, because that group turned on him. By the end of the week, they killed him. Thank goodness he rose from the dead, defeating death and defeating sin. Jesus considered the reward. He lived for the approval of one, and it was the Father. And his reward was giving us salvation. The reward that Jesus considered as he died on the cross, and he didn't listen or live to be seen by other people. He lived for the audience of the Father. He was faithful to the Father. And what he got was us. That was his reward. Because he loves us and he cares for us. That's the good news of the gospel. And so first, we saw assess our motives. Second, we consider the reward. Let's look to the third point and final point of the night. And before I get there, as we talk about being seen by others, I want you to consider this question. Maybe write it out. Or consider this statement. Who we want to be seen by may be exactly who we are living for. Who we want to be seen by may be exactly who we're living for. And if the good news of the gospel is true, that Jesus died on our behalf, rose from the dead, defeated death, and ascended into heaven, is the Son of God, is the one true God. If that's true, then we no longer live for ourselves. We live to follow him. And so who we want to be seen by may be exactly who we are living for. And that's an important thing for us to consider tonight as we consider the reward. And lastly, jumping back to verse 3. But when you do your giving, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your gift may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's jump to verse 6 again. I think it's verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, the third point is to take the alternative. This alternative is, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving, when you're being faithful. Don't be self-forgetful. Don't even think about yourself. Just be faithful. Don't even think about the way that you're doing something. Just be self-forgetful. And when you pray, go into your room and close your door. The Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there's a secret faithfulness. There's a secret following. There's a secret place where we go and we pray. Does that mean we never do things in front of other people? No, I'm going to pray at the end of this sermon. How awkward would that be? FM 72 is a tent filled with people and praying. Doesn't mean that we never do these things. But it must mean that there is much of what we do in faithfulness that is only seen by the Father. And so we give and we pray, and Jesus even goes on to say that we fast. And as we do those things, we're self-forgetful. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way: there is only one answer, and that is we should have a love for God that we have no time to think about ourselves. Self-forgetful, secret faithfulness. There's no time to think about us in the way that we appear to others. It's kind of a crazy thing that the Bible says the Father sees in secret. Wrestle with that. Think about that. Figure that one out. He sees our faithfulness, and he even sees our faithlessness. Like what we do when no one's watching. But the secret, faithfulness, seems to be where the reward is. So your outward resume for Jesus, your church attendance, your Insta bio having a verse, or even better, Maverick City lyric. Your post from the mission trip, your resume for Jesus doesn't measure your relationship with Jesus. As much as he wants us in community, connected to the local body of Christ, he also wants intimacy and secret. In the secret. The way I think about it is the same way I think about my marriage with my wife. We have a lot of fun in groups. A lot of fun. We get to spend time with groups. Groups are a great thing, but it's also very important that we get quality time alone with one another. It's a mark of an intimate relationship. If I never spent time alone with her, something would be unhealthy. If you don't spend time alone with God the Father, something is unhealthy. We are made to be in relationship with the Father. And it starts in the secret place. If you're here and you're like, I don't even go to church. I don't even pretend to be a Christian. I don't even know why I'm here. Somebody dragged me here. I don't even like this place. I don't like that the lights are down. I don't like that the lights are off. I don't like that the lyrics are weird. I don't like that that girl next to me has been saying amen throughout this sermon. Isn't that distracting? I don't like this. I don't like that. Hey, I get it. Hey, if you're here and you're critical and you're like, yeah, Christians are hypocritical. Those hypocrites. Glad you're here. And I'll just, all I can say for me is I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this past week there are ways that I have been a hypocrite. But thank goodness for the good news of the gospel that God has forgiven me for that, and I'm trying to follow him and listen to his words. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others merely to be seen. I'm trying to practice that. And so in your frustration, I would invite you to show some grace. Jesus is worth following. And I actually believe your frustration could create a really pure following of Jesus that has less hypocrisy than somebody like me. So don't let that hold you back. And lastly, there's a lot of people at Baylor and in Waco that are acting like Christians for the benefits of it, the social benefits, which is a weird thing. What a terrible thing. A waste. My encouragement to you is that God sees through your act and into your heart. Hypocrite that Jesus is talking about literally means theatrical. Just as I used to be in theater, we've got to quit the theatrics and the act. And we actually have to take the alternative to the act, which is to assess our motives, consider the reward, and take the alternative. And it spells act. My close is this. It's a very simple application and encouragement. This week, I want you all to go give generously, secretly. Don't tell anyone. Go and do it. Go and be faithful. If you're not sure, a local church is a great place to give. There's plenty of people that are going overseas this summer that need help. There's plenty of people around Waco that could use help. Mission Waco is also a great place to give. Give in the secret this week. My next is to spend some time praying alone this week. in the secret. Spend some time alone with God. If either an hour on one day, put it in your calendar, go and do it, or spend the start of every day alone in your room, on your knees, by your bed. Lord, I'm here. I'm here to pray. We're going to talk more about prayer next week. But just start this week. Pray in the secret. Don't just pray at meals. Pray in the secret. And then the last thing. And this, I really believe in this one. I talked the least about this one. But I want to invite everyone to fast the next 2 weeks as we prepare for FM 72. What is fasting? It's giving up food for a day. You can have a smoothie, juice, if you need that. I'm not just asking you to fast from social media. That's great. That's not what we're here to talk about. Fast and don't tell anyone. Don't schedule a lunch so you sit awkwardly across from somebody. Block out those lunches. Spend time praying during those lunches. And what are we praying for? We are praying for revival. We are praying for FM 72. And we're praying first that God will revive our own hearts, because we too often are hypocrites. So let's fast and pray that God would revive us. Would revival come? But would it start with us? Let me pray that it would. God, we just come to you humbly. We ask that you would do a mighty work in us. Lord, help us to obey. Lord, we don't just want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We want to give. We want to pray. We want to fast. And we don't want to do any of these things just to be seen by God, or to be seen by others, excuse me. We don't want to do anything just to be seen by others. We want to be obedient to you. We want to spend time alone with you, Lord. We want to be in relationship with you. You are not a God who is distant. You are a God who is with us. And so we want to spend time with you. And Lord, I pray just a blessing over every student in here that gives generously this week. Would they be filled with joy because of their opportunity to give in the secret and live with self-forgetfulness? Would that bring joy to their week? I pray that as we mark out an hour to pray this week, or every day we start with prayer this week, alone with you, would that be the sweetest time of our week? Would you use that? And Lord, lastly, as we fast and we give up something to focus on you, and every time we're hungry, would we pray for revival on our campus? And revival within our own hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would answer that prayer, that you would help us to experience you more in a pure way, in a pure of heart kind of way, that we'd be free from hypocrisy as you're warning us against. We'd be followers of you who by your grace look like you. Lord, thank you for the grace you've shown us through your son Jesus on the cross. Would he flip our lives upside down these coming weeks? Even if there's somebody in here that doesn't want him to do that, Jesus, I pray that you would. We pray this in your name. Amen.